This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Mother!
Live on the Alex Jones Show. Alex will be back at the bottom of the hour. But we're talking to Gad Saad, a behavioral scientist out of Concordia University. Just before we hit the break there, I was getting into social justice warriors and the tactics they use to interrupt these events. Of course, we know they're completely intolerant of diversity of opinion, but they don't go out and picket. They don't wave signs. They pull fire alarms. They make bomb threats. They interrupt events. They smear themselves with blood and scream out. They physically block people from attending these events. Gad Saad, why do they resort to these mob intimidation tactics? It decreases their credibility. What message are they trying to send by doing this?
I think I actually discussed this in a recent Saad Truth clip. I think they have a profoundly erroneous view of what freedom of speech is. They genuinely believe that the tactics that you're speaking of is their exercise of their freedom of speech, right? So they think that stopping you from speaking is a form of free speech, right? They don't recognize that that is a violation of your right to free speech. So it's really it really is a complete inability to understand that freedom of speech means you have a right to speak, and they're allowed to set up an alternate venue where they offer their own dissenting voices. It doesn't mean that they could shut you down, but repeatedly when I've engaged some of these folks, they truly believe this. And I'll give you another quick example. I've blocked people who were, you know, and on the very rare cases where somebody is, you know, very hostile towards me and insulting and so on, I block them. They usually come back and accuse me of violating their free speech. So how, you know, how unaware must you be of the most basic tenets of free speech to think that you could follow me around all over Twitter, hurl insults at me on my various social portals, and if I decide to disengage with you, I am violating your freedom to insult me? It's grotesque.
No, I mean, I've had that numerous times. They think that disagreeing with them is you violating their free speech. They have no understanding of debate or dissent whatsoever. And this new thing I've noticed quite recently is we've got these safe spaces now trying to argue that disagreeing with their opinions is a form of violence, actual real violence.
We had people walking
out of the Milo Yiannopoulos lecture saying they felt physically threatened because he expressed a different opinion. We had the case that you mentioned in your lecture in Ottawa recently, you know, Laura Kipnis, she writes an article suggesting that rape culture might be, you know, fanned by paranoia, she's targeted under the same justification. How can it possibly be argued with any credibility that having a differing opinion is a form of violence?
Well, their position is so fraught with contradictions. So, for example, earlier you were discussing diversity, right? So they're all about racial, ethnic, cultural, religious, sexual orientation diversity. But the most important form of diversity at a university, which is intellectual diversity, that's an absolute no-no. So skin pigmentation diversity, we support that. Diversity of ideas, well, that's just unsafe. We won't tolerate such nonsense. It is grotesque.
Now, I wanted to get into this aspect of it because I sent out a tweet just before I came on the show. See what you make of this. Social media allows arrested development adult babies who never grew up to accumulate power by throwing tantrums. This explains the temptation for lazy, unsuccessful, ugly, and unpopular people to become social justice warriors. You talked about Munchausen syndrome in your lecture.
Right.
This process where people pretend to be afflicted to garner sympathy. Now they've got the platform of social media to do it. They've organized like never before. They've accumulated this power. just explain how that relates to the growth, the connection between social media and this expression of this Munchausen syndrome.
So as you said, Munchausen syndrome is this psychiatric disorder where people get ego strokes. They get attention by feigning illness, by feigning injury. Well, imagine if now I could be given a massive platform where I incessantly cry victimhood. I'm going to get attention and it becomes orgasmic.
We'll be back after the break to talk about that with...
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
Attention citizens. This man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent. And in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Demographic Cliff, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.harrydentresearch.com. Again, that's www.harrydentresearch.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
It's Paul Joseph Watson live on the Alex Jones Show. Alex will be live at the bottom of the hour with breaking news updates, so be sure to stay tuned for that. But right now we're talking to Gad Saad, and sorry I had to cut you off before the break. We've got a long segment here so we can really get into it. Now I just raised the point of, you know, people are always asking me, where this sudden obsession with, you know, oppression Olympics, grievance culture, safe space, where did it come from? Well, as John Ronson talks about in his book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed, he makes the point that, like never before, organized groups of citizens have had this much power. They have access to this newfound power. It's very alluring because social justice warriors are, by and large, lazy, unsuccessful people. They've suddenly got access to this huge platform which allows them to project themselves out onto the world, to blame the world for their own inadequacies. You combine that, Gad Saad, with Munchausen syndrome, and it's a toxic combination, isn't it?
It's orgiastic, right? I mean, it's a wonderful venue. Look, if I happen to be overweight, right? Now, I could look at this as an opportunity to lose weight when my physician says, hey, it's healthy for you to be thinner. Or I could take the social justice warrior approach and say, look, you're engaging in fatism, doctor. You're not accepting me for being differently weighted. And that's inappropriate because you have to love me for how I am, right? So it's really a question of how comfortable you are with yourself, how secure you are with who you are. And that allows you to navigate the realities of life, right? But victimhood gives somebody a card, a get out of jail card for all of their failures, right? I mean, it's easier for me to say that Hollywood images are perpetuating images of a thin guy ideal, and hopefully then I can argue that that's not fair, they should love me for who I am, and my physician is a fattest, than to actually have to go through the hard work of losing weight, right? And so this is really a symptom of the more general ethos of victimology, right?
Well, exactly. It's them making excuses for their bad lifestyle choices, right, for the fact that they are unsuccessful, that they don't work hard enough, because we do live in a meritocracy, by and large. It's not perfect, but that's the society that we live in. And rather than actually go through the process of working hard, working their way up intellectually, they'd rather just blame their problems on the rest of the world and claim that that's the reason why they are, and then build a platform off of that by using social media, which again allows them to accumulate more and more power. But I also wanted to get your take on the Trump phenomenon, because this ties into political correctness, of course. This is a debate that's been going back and forth. Do you think that support for Trump represents a genuine, you know, organic backlash against political correctness, or is it simply a consequence of him filling the vacuum created by those public intellectuals that were too cowardly to stand up for true liberal principles?
I think it's a bit of both, right? So, for example, if we take the issue of Muslim immigration, right? Somewhere between his blanket statement, ban all Muslims, and the position taken by, say, someone like Paul Stockton, the former Assistant Secretary for Homeland Defense, or Eric Holder, there are these great exchanges in Congress where they're simply unwilling to utter the word Islamic-based terrorism, right? So somewhere between being a complete member of the ostrich brigade and having a blanket statement such as Donald Trump's is the happy medium. And I think people are responding to the fact that they're fed up of seeing how the public discourse is so false, right? I mean, the narrative is not difficult to see. It's as clear as the existence of gravity, yet we have to consistently be told that, you know, don't believe your lying eyes. And so he, I guess, exudes or exhibits or signals a measure of authenticity, rightly or wrongly so. That's, I think, what the people are responding to. He's viewed as an outsider in the political sphere who just shoots from the hips and just says what's on his mind. And I think people are responding to that.
And I read some quotes out earlier in the show, one from a fifth-year-old leftist liberal college professor out of California who said that he was voting for Donald Trump simply to see the look on social justice warriors' faces if Donald Trump won. So again, that goes back right to the liberal professor who was terrified of his own students. We do actually still have, you know, classical liberals who believe in truly liberal principles but are afraid to say it in public, yeah, they'll go and vote for somebody like Trump.
Oh, and I see it all the time on my private personal Facebook page, right? The aping of the same position, especially amongst my academic friends, is simply astonishing, right? I mean, you think that, sure, they're more likely to be partisan of one, you know, end of the political spectrum. I understand that. But the fact that otherwise sophisticated, intelligent intellectuals can't exhibit any heterogeneity when it comes to these fundamental political issues suggests that there is a real sort of signaling going on. And the signal in this case is, if you in any way like anything that Donald Trump says, you must be a toothless, redneck guy from Arkansas. And of course they're not, and therefore they disassociate themselves from him.
No, it's increasingly a bigger misnomer that those are Trump supporters. And again, I read out a quote from a 20-year-old gay Arab Muslim student who's voting for Trump for his right. own reasons. So it's more of a cross-section than, you know, they'd like us to believe. But what, again, back to, you know, professors and intellectual cowardice, you talk about this in your lecture in Ottawa. To what extent are public intellectuals and professors themselves responsible for the evisceration of free speech and this chilling climate when they submit to fear over political correctness, when they refuse, as you give the example, to even like your status on Facebook, even if they agree with it?
Well, of course, what you just said is exactly true. But more generally, the fact that there isn't diversity of thought on campuses. I mean, I discussed in the lecture in question a study, not done by me, but by some colleagues, where they looked at political affiliation of professors. And the numbers were simply astonishing, right? I mean, across disciplines, it was something like 5-1 toward the Democrats. But in certain fields, especially the social justice warrior-laden fields, humanities and sociology and women's studies and so on, it could go up as high as 44-1. I mean, that's not good, right? I mean, there are certain things that are scientific facts that we can all agree on, but when it comes to fiscal policy or foreign policy or affirmative action or whether the death penalty is good or not, it is welcome to have a diversity of positions. And yet when you create a echo chamber called the university where one group of folks are almost never represented, that's not good for a free society.
Now, I want to move on to one of the expressions of, you know, social justice warriors in terms of this idea that everything is a social construct. This is what's come to dominate the cultural narrative now for many years. Of course, a lot of it is based on French postmodernism, which you made a very funny video about a couple of days ago, which is complete mumbo jumbo, has zero meaning whatsoever. And like you, I went through the process of trying to read some of these, you know, French postmodernists, Foucault, Albert Camus, etc., thinking, am I just too dumb to get this? I mean, does it actually mean anything? No, it means absolutely nothing. It's mumbo jumbo. But a lot of that, you know, gender is a social construct. There's no real meaning in anything. That arose out of the French postmodernists. You gave a TED talk in which you explained that, in fact, gender preferences are innate and biological, which, of course, completely contradicts this gender as a social construct idea. Just walk us through that research that you outlined in the TED talk.
Right. So, you know, my main area of research is to apply evolutionary psychology and biology in general to study consumer behavior. And so you can't engage in that enterprise without recognizing that there are innate sex differences that define human beings. As a matter of fact, the manner in which Homo sapiens are defined is, by definition, a sexually dimorphic species, meaning that there are innate actual differences between the sexes. That's how biologists define our species. Now, the social constructivists started off with the idea that we are born tabula rasa, with empty brains, empty slates. And what then makes us who we are is that we transcend our biology. It's all due to socialization. We learn to love tall guys from Hollywood images. Guys learn to love shapely women because they watch Penthouse. Everything is due to a social construction, and that's laughable. And so what I do in my TED talk, but more generally in all of my research, is I dismantle this idea that there is nothing that is biologically based. So even if you take something like toy preferences, there are unbelievably compelling evidence that demonstrate that there are innate differences between boys and girls when it comes to toy preferences. Would you like me to go through some of these?
Yeah, go for it.
So, for example, if you take little children who are too young to be socialized, right? So by definition, they could not have learned these preferences. They will stare at or go toward sex-specific toys, right? So by definition, they couldn't have learned these. If you take other species like vervet or rhesus monkeys, their infants exhibit the same sex-specific toy preferences that occurs with human infants. If you take a disorder known as congenital adrenal hyperplasia, which is an endocrinological disorder, if a little girl suffers from it, she becomes masculinized in her behaviors and in her morphology, while a girl who suffers from that disorder will then exhibit boy-like behaviors. You could look at Sweden, which is a country that has sought to eradicate any gender markers, right? They've been engaged in this huge social experiment for the past 40 years to remove gender. Well, if you do a study of toy preferences there, the exact same sex-specific toy preferences occur. So there's an endless number of studies spanning very, very different disciplines that show that there are innate differences between the sexes. Now, the reason why feminists and others don't like this idea is because they wrongly think that to argue that there are sex differences means that the sexist status quo will continue.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Demographic Cliff, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.harrydentresearch.com. Again, that's www.harrydentresearch.com.
Are you looking to sell body armor? Want to make extra money selling body armor at your local gun shows? With low minimum buys and great returns, Katie Armor is the answer. Make money in your spare time. It's American-made body armor with the quickest turnaround in the industry, which means you get your product when you need it at very competitive rates. And they'll ship it to you for free. If you own a business, give them a call today at 855-488-KATIE. That's 855-488-2284. Or go to katiearmor.com. Come and take it.
It's no secret that pathogens such as bacteria, viruses, moles, and fungus can inflict severe damage in the human body. Fortunately, a new and vastly improved silver solution has been developed. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary broad-spectrum antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal solution that can be used inside the body as well as on the skin. Supernatural Silver is unique and superior to colloidal and ionic silvers, using a patented technology that is highly effective against colds, flus, infections, food poisoning, and yeast, in addition to many other pathogens. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, extremely safe, and is the number one choice of thousands of people for immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver could change your life. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code HEALTHY for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com. And like us on Facebook.
Hi, my name is Nick Lupo. One World Whey has been by far the best protein that I've ever had. I take it three times a day, once in the morning as soon as I wake, once for a pre-workout snack, and once for a post-workout recovery drink. It has helped me transform and sculpt my body into what I have now. I began taking the product about 2 years ago, and boy, let me tell you, I'm in the best shape of my life. I've seen major muscle mass gains and have 0% body fat. I have had people in my gym ask if I compete in bodybuilding because of how lean and muscular I am. I used to suffer from everyday aches and pains from hard manual labor my whole life and arthritis that runs through my family. But One World Whey has helped me take that everyday pain from a 10 to a 3. Some days I feel no pain at all, just full of life and energy. It has also helped my skin look younger and healthier. Thank you, Synergistic Nutrition, for One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
Out your window when I'm leaving. I won't Bill.
We are back on the Alex Jones Show live with Gad Saad. And just before we hit the break there, we were talking about this idea of gender as a social construct, which, of course, is completely demolished by the actual science. We had this article out of the Daily Mail. Sorry, Mom, I'm straight. Oversharing mother who blogs about her pride in her rainbow boy reveals how her son finally plucked up the courage to come out to her as heterosexual. So now we've got parents believing in this postmodernist idea that everything is relative, that everything is a social construct. And Gad Saad, if they really take that on board, given that it's completely unscientific and antagonistic toward basic biological truths, that's really going to cause some problems with these children growing up, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And I mean, look, as a scientist, all I care about, all I'm committed to is the honest pursuit of the truth, right? We all try our best to get as close to the truth as we can via the various scientific enterprises that we engage in. And what upsets me is when you have the social sciences and the humanities building theoretical and so-called empirical edifices over the past 100 years that are really built on absolute nonsense. So just to move from sex differences to another type of difference, the idea, for example, of cultural relativism, right, that all cultures are unique and distinct and equal, started with Franz Boas, a cultural anthropologist, who recognized that sometimes biology could be misused for nefarious reasons, and therefore let's create a new worldview, a bullshit worldview, but nonetheless a worldview where biology ceases to matter, aimed by the unique culture that you come in. Now, that is such a laughably false position that you genuinely wonder how otherwise intelligent, sophisticated academics could espouse such things. Well, they espouse them because their ideology trumps the pursuit of truth. And that's why we should never allow ideology to infiltrate the scientific enterprise.
And it causes real damage, this idea that all cultures are equal and should all be tolerated equally. I mean, in India, every year UNICEF has to do a massive public relations campaign where they say, please don't crap in the street. It's causing horrible diseases in children.
Right.
600 million people in India still crap on the street because it's part of their culture. If
right.
you say, well, that's a bad culture, it needs to be changed, they need to be educated out of that kind of behavior because it's dangerous, then, you know, you're racist. So that's a concrete example of how not all cultures are equal, correct?
Exactly. And it's precisely this ideological bent that is, if you like, placing handcuffs on people when trying to discuss things like immigration from countries that might otherwise not share the values of our Western liberal traditions, right? I mean, it doesn't make you a racist to say that if you come from a particular region of the world, you're likely to be less tolerant of Jews or of gays or of women or of animals or of non-believers. That is a absolute fact that is as clear as the existence of gravity. Now, does that mean that every single person who comes from those lands is likely to exhibit that type of intolerance? Of course not. But on the aggregate, does it mean that if you are from Sweden, you're more likely to be tolerant of homosexuality than if you're from Yemen? Absolutely yes. And we have to be able to feel sufficiently self-confident to otherwise enunciate these banally trivial realities, right? But most people are afraid to do so, lest they might be accused of being a racist, a bigot, an Islamophobe, and so on.
And that's the thing. I mean, the West is the most tolerant place in the world, and yet we're constantly castigated as being the most racist. If you go to some of these areas in the Middle East and try to, you know, try to be homosexual, try to live your own independent alternative lifestyle, in many cases they will behead you, but blame is always placed on the West.
Well,
and the final just give our final comments and tell people where they can find your Twitter and YouTube channel.
So at Gad, G-A-D-S-A-A-D, and you could find my YouTube channel by just entering my name, Gad Saad. I have a series of clips called The Saad Truth. I hope you'll subscribe and enjoy the reason.
Okay, Gad Saad, thanks for joining us.
Cheers, thank you so much for having me again.
Okay, there goes Gad Saad again. Check out his videos on YouTube, really enlightening, interesting stuff. Presented in a way that you can grasp, that you can fully understand. not like French postmodernism. And you can really use these videos to reach out to other people. We're going to talk to Lauren Southern in the third hour. She was actually attacked by tolerant liberal social justice warriors for having a different opinion. But coming up next is Alex Jones with a live news update. This is the Alex Jones Show Live, breaking news at Infowars.com. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Biochemistry determines your mood, memory, energy, and endurance. Your body's primary metabolic function is to make protein. One World Whey is a unique, non-denatured protein. This enables your body to have virtually 100% utilization, whereas typical whey protein powders offer no more than 18% utilization of protein. One World Whey also delivers life-giving frequencies to your cells. The net result for so many people is improved energy, mood, and elimination of pain from inflammation.
This technologically enhanced One World Whey has been really amazing for me. I'm 36 years old, and for the past several years, I've been struggling with lack of energy, drive, and stamina. And after just 2 weeks on this product, I'm feeling so much more energy. My yoga practice has deepened, and as a massage therapist, I'm able to see more clients than I've been able to in years. I've never felt results that quick with anything I've ever taken.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
You know about RVs, you've heard about bunkers, but surviving is not recreation, and man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com, providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
Hey, I rode the elevator with you, but I don't work on the upper floors. I just want to squeeze in there right next to you, so the RFID scanner in my pocket can capture all your personal information, your debit and credit cards, even your work ID badge. So your identity is now my identity. Going up, so am I.
For over 10 years, ID Stronghold has pioneered RFID blocking wallets and ID badge holders for consumers, the U.S. military, and even the executive office of the president. Shouldn't you be protected too? ID Stronghold wallets cost about the same as wallets in most stores, but give you extra protection.
I'm Wal Augustinowicz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Don't be a victim of electronic pickpocketing. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses.
Visit IDStronghold.com and get the original RFID blocking wallets and badge holders. IDStronghold.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-up. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
You're back live on the Alex Jones Show. Alex will be coming up soon with a live report. We've also got a special report, which we're going to throw to soon. We're going to hit more news for the moment. This is out of the Express. Cultural differences led to migrant sexually assaulting child at UK train station. Now, remember the report we had back from a couple of weeks ago? We had a case in Austria where a migrant sexually abused a boy at a swimming pool, who was also a migrant, by the way. He had Serbian parents, I believe. And the thing about it was this migrant wasn't even worried about getting caught by the police. The behavior was so normal, so routine to him, that he thought he could just get away with it. He abused, sexually abused this young boy in the locker room, went back to the swimming pool and started diving off the board. They actually arrested him when he was still in the swimming pool because he thought it was just completely routine to molest young boys because that's part of his culture, right? And every culture's equal and you can't judge anyone, even if they're paedophiles. So now we've got this out of the Express. A Somalian migrant brought through the courts for molesting a child at a train station doesn't think he did anything wrong due to cultural differences, the court heard. Al Abdahali, 34, tried to kiss a 15-year-old girl on a station platform, lunged at a female passenger on a train journey, and made an approach at another woman. But despite pleading guilty to two counts of sexual assault, the security guard, who came to Britain in 2011, still has trouble admitting he did anything wrong. He told police he came from a conservative culture and doesn't grasp the sexual boundary between men and women in the UK. And yet, still, we're being told that like Germany, we have to import hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of these people with no actual solid plan to integrate them whatsoever. In countries like Denmark, they've had sexual consent lessons, which haven't worked out so well. We still see reports constantly, like almost every day, in fact, sometimes multiple times a day, of these rapes taking place. Of course, in many cases, the media itself in Germany and Sweden is complicit in covering up these crimes because they don't want to legitimize critics of mass migration. But we've got our special report ready now, I believe. This is the Bernie baby who unfortunately died recently. Here's that special report. Take it away.
Imagine if you had a chance to plead with a man or woman who was standing at the edge of the top floor balcony of the Empire State Building, about to throw themselves down to a certain death, holding that baby in their arms. What would run through your mind? What would go through your heart and your gut? You tell them to value their life, but also the life of the child. You tell them that no matter how bad the despair they were having, it shouldn't be transferred to that little baby. We've seen the phenomenon many times where people that aren't sociopathic, aren't psychopathic, but are mentally ill, lose their job, don't feel like they have a future, and they kill themselves, but first kill their children. Now, I'm going to cover, out of the thousands of subjects that are very serious that we talk about, what is undoubtedly the most important medical issue facing humanity today, of many. And it's a life and death situation where you not only have your own life in your hands, but you have the life of that newborn baby or that 18-month-old toddler or that 5-year-old daughter in your hands, and you are being moved towards the edge of that precipice and certain death. Now listen to me very carefully because I'm going to make this short and sweet, but I'm going to give people some life-saving homework.
A baby made famous in Las Vegas for his uncanny resemblance to presidential candidate Bernie Sanders has died.
Oliver became a social media sensation, but just a week after his appearance in Las Vegas, he died of sudden infant death syndrome.
A few days ago, it was announced that the cute little Bernie baby at 4 months of age died of sudden infant death syndrome that didn't show up anywhere in the world until the 60s and 70s, and only showed up in industrialized countries. And they have governmental studies on this in Australia. There are studies on it here in the United States. I'm going to put some of those up on screen, where the phenomenon of infants dying in their crib, it has been directly linked all over the world to the day or the day after they get vaccines. You can read the inserts of any vaccine, and it will tell you that it's been linked to death and to neurological disorders, to paralysis, to narcolepsy, epilepsy. The list goes on and on. that has been linked to causing type 1 diabetes that they claim is genetic. But the vaccine triggers it and burns out your pancreas when it causes pancreatitis. This is all on record. But they get up on the news and they tell you there's never been any problems with vaccines, though they established a multi-billion dollar fund in the early 80s to cover all this up in secret courts. Why is it secret? Because they know. And ABC News, it turned out, back in 2000, reported on secret CDC meetings where their own directors said, I wouldn't give this to my children or grandchildren. Rob Dew, InfoWars news director, sent out a tweet over the weekend, and he made the right point. He said, this needs to be investigated basically for vaccines. And notice the term they use, sudden infant death syndrome. It's like spontaneous combustion. Nobody knows why it happens, what it's caused by. Well, we do know what's causing it. It's an autoimmune response and a swelling of the brain. That's why many times they don't call it SIDS. They will indict the parents because they'll do an autopsy and there'll be blood on the brain as if they were beaten or violently shaken. But they've stopped doing that. They've stopped arresting parents because it kept coming out in court. It was even happening to kids at the hospital. Sometimes they would collapse there and the baby would have a convulsion minutes after, so they'd keep them in the hospital. They check the surveillance tapes. Nobody beating the baby. So listen to me very, very carefully. I'm not saying the technology of learned immunity through vaccines doesn't exist. It isn't 500 years old. The media always misrepresents that. What I'm saying is when you start giving babies 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 vaccines like they're doing now in some cases with hypochondriac parents, get them upwards of 60 by age 2. It's known in animal husbandry. I've worked for many years for a large animal and small animal vet throughout high school that sometimes cows or horses would drop dead after you gave them a vaccine or have a convulsion an hour later and then be mentally retarded after it happened or die. Gave that cow the shots and she fell over for 2 days, got back up, and now just stands there, doesn't even eat. Sending her to get slaughtered tomorrow. I've sat there many times when they're loading the cows in that are brain damaged and got drool coming out their nostrils. And they look just like the kids that have got autism. Now, I'm going to show you just a few mainstream news articles along this line where they're having trouble covering all this up. Here's one from NCBI, Emergent Human Pathogen, Simian Virus 40 and its role in cancer. And then it goes into its introduction. And this is the big Baylor research paper with the microbiology virology department in Texas. And there's just literally thousands of universities saying the same thing. Growing brain tumors, lung cancers, the list goes on and on. You wonder why bone cancers and all this are exploding. It is directly linked to this. And other government documents estimate that just the first round of the polio vaccines exposed 98 million people to it, many of which ended up dying. Now, they knew that most cancer was viral in 1905, 1910, some papers even previous to that. It's incredible. I'm going to get back to that here in just a moment. Again, just type in village dies after vaccines or doctors discover sterilant in UN-administered tetanus shot. I mean, it's all there. Thousands of examples. Remember all the Tuskegee experiments with the syphilis. I always use that example because people know about that one. There's thousands of radiating foster children, injecting all the Native Americans in a tribe, and they all get sterilized. I mean, it's been declassified. Why would you trust the bureaucrats and the eugenicists and the 36,000 Nazis that were brought in after World War II to the U.S. to basically run things in research and development from NASA to bioweapons? In there, then Trojan horsing this into the vaccines. Here's one that actually got some coverage a few years ago. Homeless people die after bird flu vaccine trial in Poland. Now, why is this so important? I'm going to go over it right now. Listen to this very, very carefully. Homeless people die after bird flu vaccine trial in Poland. Now, listen to how they talk about this so calmly. Medical trials on 350 homeless and poor people last year in the Polish city, authorities claim that the alleged victims were paid £1 to £2, or about $4, $2.50 to $4, with what they thought was a conventional flu vaccine, but according to investigators, was actually an anti-bird flu drug. At least 21 people died in the trial of the 350, well above the average of about 8. So they tell you it's a regular flu shot that has its own issues. They give it to you, and they go, oh, normally it only kills 8 people, but it killed 21. That is Russian roulette. They didn't even tell you, this is going to kill 8 of you. But you're homeless. See, it's eugenics. Love the homeless. Pay taxes on the homeless. You know, be poor because of the homeless. All that fake liberal garbage is the cover. It's like all their fake anti-racism stuff is a cover because they're the real anti-humans, period. And they just calmly reported in this newspaper and says, well, it normally only kills 8 people. We take them in. We don't tell them it's experimental. Yeah, it kills 8. I'm sorry, it killed more than double that. What if they didn't know it was going to kill 1? And it's in all the literature. Everyone I know has almost been killed by a vaccine. My mother was a triathlete. Was winning like gold and silver medals at the state level. She's on UT swim team masters. She didn't start swimming competitively until she was 30-something. By the time she was 50, she was beating people that had been top gold medal Olympic athletes. Okay? They told the team, take a flu shot. She took a flu shot, was in bed for almost 2 months, and almost died. Never competed again. She still exercises, but it took it out of her. It took that spark out of her. Soft kill weapon. My dad's brother took a tetanus shot, was in the hospital for a week, swole up all over his body like something in a science fiction movie, almost died, and the doctor said, no, it was the tetanus shot. And I just go on and on and on. My personal trainer knows 2 good friends that in the Army got paralyzed with anthrax shots, and one of them can barely walk a decade later. All of you know people around you this happened to, but they just run this lie that everything's fine, nobody cares, go back to sleep. Now, I want to show you one more article, and then I'm done. But it's up to you. I mean, don't you feel a responsibility? I know I do, to warn people about this. This is the New York Times, covered this a few weeks ago. I made a big deal about it on air. But if you actually read the article, it's even worse than when I got into. Scientists ponder the prospect of contagious cancer. And they say cancer has suddenly mutated and knows how to be communicable now. And suddenly, if we don't pay global warming carbon taxes, weaponized cancer is going to be out there and going to kill everybody. And you're going to catch it from a sneeze or anything. Right now, it's just nurses and people notice that if they prick themselves with a needle from someone that has colon cancer, they get the same cancer in their thumb. Again, by 1905, 1910, you name it. Go look at the studies. They were inducing cancer in rats by injecting cancer cells or cancer viruses in. This is how dumb they think you are. They don't tell you about it until now. They're going to say, guess what? You're not going to catch a cold now. You're going to catch cancer. And it's because you were a bad human and bad to the earth when they've been weaponizing it forever and been caught adding it to vaccines since the 50s. And, of course, they were doing it before that. But they went operational against the American people in the 50s. And my grandmother at 90 years old is a casualty of it. She was given both strains, and 1 week after she got the second strain, she got that strain of polio. It ate more than half the nerves in her body, and she's been on crutches since then. My mother was 4, my uncle was 9. She's got breast cancer today. They didn't say that's old age, but they admitted that the SV40 was in the vaccine she got, but it's worse than that. She got polio from the vaccine. Think about these gifts. Cancer viruses you gave her, and you gave her polio. Thank you. See, it touches so many people, and it touches you, and they just want you to sit there. It's not dramatic like somebody jumping off the Empire State Building and they die right there. No, no. People are jumping off all around us believing these lies and killing their kids and maiming their kids. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that, and you think about what's going on long and hard before they tell you, safe and effective, just take the shot at the clinic or the school. And now they're coming, saying that they want to forcibly inoculate all of the world. And that is a line in the sand, because they're coming with a weapon. I could have put the headline on a YouTube video. Maybe I should. 21 homeless shot. It'd go viral everywhere. They'd call the band the Guns before they even read the article. No, no. Shot with a vaccine and they died. And the doctors admit it killed them. But then it's like, oh, well, that was, oh, it killed 21. That's more than double. It usually just kills 8. Think about how they hide that in plain view and hope that you don't just type in, man dies after vaccine, woman paralyzed after vaccine, every day in the U.S. and around the world. I mean, they'll give a cheerleader squad of 12 people in a Kansas town, and 2 of them died, and a couple others got paralyzed with the Gardasil shot. Because they got lots that they mail out to the different clinics to track which strain does what. Look up in the subway in 1968, they released bioweapons, bacteria, and they would track at the hospitals what strain did what and who got sick. I mean, that's just another well-known example. You are guinea pigs. You are being assaulted. This is what is absolutely central to the globalist plan. All right, back to the live transmission. This is the front line of the info war. We need humanity to rise up and educate themselves and others about what's happening and withdraw our consent from this totalitarian oppressive system. And for God's sakes, do your research if you're pregnant. Do your research if you have kids. If your kids took the shots and they didn't get real sick, it means they got a clean lot or from a vaccine maker that isn't part of this crew. And we'll put up articles here about in Germany and China and other places, the elite and the military, quote, get clean vaccines. And I've actually talked to billionaires and folks, and they go, oh, no, we go to special clinics, and they basically admit to us these are the real vaccines. And there's still risk with those, messing with your autoimmune system, but it works. We're not given the good stuff. You understand that? This is the ultimate form of discrimination. There's so many other points, for heaven's sakes. Please warn yourself, warn others, get informed. I'm Alex Jones from InfoWars.com. We need your support now more than ever. We're exploding in size, in the people we reach, and we have more enemies than ever coming after us. Please pray for us, and please financially support us by getting the great products at InfoWarsStore.com and InfoWarsLife.com. We couldn't do any of this without you. I salute you.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level. That's advertise.gcnlive.com.
You know about RVs, you've heard about bunkers, but surviving is not recreation, and man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com, providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
Hey, I rode the elevator with you, but I don't work on the upper floors. I just want to squeeze in there right next to you so the RFID scanner in my pocket can capture all your personal information, your debit and credit cards, even your work ID badge. So your identity is now my identity. Going up, so am I.
For over 10 years, ID Stronghold has pioneered RFID blocking wallets and ID badge holders for consumers, the U.S. military, and even the executive office of the president. Shouldn't you be protected too? ID Stronghold wallets cost about the same as wallets in most stores, but give you extra protection.
I'm Wal Augustinowicz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Don't be a victim of electronic pickpocketing. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses.
Visit IDStronghold.com and get the original RFID blocking wallets and badge holders. IDStronghold.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Turn on the news and you'll hear stories of natural disasters, political unrest, and financial crisis. In times of uncertainty, how will you take care of your family's most basic needs? Food Insurance, America's most trusted provider of freeze-dried emergency food, has solutions that fit your family's needs and budget. Our meals are delicious, nutritious, and come with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life. For a limited time, we are sending a free freeze-dried meal to all listeners of this program. Go to foodinsurance.com and request your free meal today. That's foodinsurance.com.
Thank you.
You're back on the Alex Jones Show live, and the Drudge Report has just put up this headline. Cleveland seeking to buy riot gear for Republican National Convention. Cleveland is seeking to buy 2,000 sets of riot gear, including riot control suits and collapsible batons, as part of the city's latest move to spend a $50 million federal security grant for July's Republican National Convention. So that looks like it's hotting up there. They want to buy 310 sets of riot control gear, long sleeve jackets, gloves, and shin guards that would be suitable for police riding bicycles. So you can see that over at the Drudge Report. Also got this story again, speaking of cultural enrichment with this migrant crisis, this migrant influx that's flooding into Europe. Germany bans sausages, pork banning cafes and schools to not offend refugees. An increasing number of public canteens, child daycare centres and schools have stopped serving sausages, bacon and ham over religious considerations. Now members of Chancellor Angela Merkel's CDU party are fighting to keep pork on the menu, insisting the consumption of pork is part of the German culture. So basically they're saying that this may offend the wave of economic migrants. Mr. Gunther argued that tolerance also means the appreciation and sufferance of other food cultures and lifestyles. Remember we had the video clip back a couple of months ago of the Muslim students in the German school saying they find Germans disgusting because they eat pork. They refuse to hang out with them. This is not assimilation. This is going to turn into a disaster. We have to adapt to their culture, even though in many aspects it's worse. Yes, I dare say that their culture is worse than ours. You know, molesting boys in changing room. That's not a good culture. But we have to adapt to it. We have to change our own culture when they should be adapting to ours. Again, we see example after example of this. And now it's even happening in Germany with sausages. It's gone down to that level now. RT is reporting anonymous hack Trump's voicemail revealed cozy relationship with media. So Anonymous is presenting this as some kind of devastating revelation that they've caught Trump in these leaked voicemail messages. They actually talk about Trump donating money to a child's charity. So it's dressed up as some devastating revelation, and basically they've got nothing. It's another one of these fake scandals. And on Donald Trump news, we've still got Facebook. We reported last week they failed to remove and assassinate Donald Trump page. Again, every single day I talk about this, tweet after tweet. You can go on Twitter any day. There are hundreds and hundreds of tweets saying, oh, gee, I hope somebody assassinates Donald Trump. There are many people directly threatening to do it themselves. In fact, there was a six-month gap until Twitter banned an assassinate Donald Trump account. And that was only after we pointed it out. But we've got Alex Jones on the line now. Alex, welcome to the show.
Paul, I have been watching you the last 20 minutes as I sit here working on a family matter. Also taking care of a bunch of company business. A lot of exciting developments we're going to be able to tell folks about in the next few weeks. But I tell you, just listening to you the last 20 minutes or so, I missed part of your earlier breakdown last hour. The way you lay it out, and I've seen all the articles, I've seen all the stories, and then there's even piles more of demonization of Donald Trump. There is no way that the establishment isn't really coming after him. They are in a hysterical, psycho hissy fit, the likes of which I've never seen. And I got to ask, why are they so scared of him? Ted Cruz, on a bunch of, quote, policies is better than Trump. I just don't trust Ted Cruz because he's his association with Glenn Beck. So I want to ask you, we're coming back here in just 70 seconds, what do you think's going on? We'll break this down and a lot more. But what do I know, folks? Like Bernie Sanders said, I'm white.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.